That Story Show is sponsored by DrawYouPicture.com, where you can get me to draw you a picture for pretty darn cheap. Need a small business or ministry logo, t-shirt design, or even podcast album art? See what I've drawn for others and see what I can draw for you at DrawYouPicture.com.
This is Christopher Battles, and you are listening to That Story Show.
Hey, this is That Story Show, the show that shares your funny life stories so that people will laugh, because laughing does you good. This is episode 233. Actually, it's 234. Don't tell anybody. Brought to you the week of November 4th, 2014. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and with me, as always, is John Steinklauber. How you doing, John?
I am great, James.
You sound great. I always hate it when I say my name too fast, my last name. Because I sound like I'm saying James Kissing. Hi, my name is James Kinnison. Kissing. See?
Hi, I'm James Kissing.
I'm kissing
stuff.
What happens
when you say my last name fast?
Stink Lobster. I don't know.
Sounds like you sneezed.
Bit off your tongue. I don't know what it is. Well, anyway, today is our Halloween show. It's not that we planned it that way. We didn't put it on the calendar. It's a late Halloween show. It's because everybody that sent in a story this week went, oh, it was Halloween. That reminds me of a story. And then they sent in their Halloween story.
And I like
it. Not all the stories are Halloween stories.
And we'll make them that.
But we will put a pumpkin in it. You know, we used to say you turn into a bat and flew away. Or we used to say, like my daughter used to add to a story, then a dragon came, you know?
Yes.
We could do that. We could say, then a pumpkin came. Or I turned into a ghost and flew away. So we'll do that.
Okay.
Here we go. First of all, I want to read some feedback. We don't always do this, but this was really good. It's from Rachel. Rachel.
Feedback.
Rachel from the Holy Land. That's what she says. That's what she's claiming. And there's only one Holy Land I know of, and that's Springfield, Missouri. But she might be talking about Yerushalayim, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you know, when I think of the Holy Land, I think of that little place off of I-4 down in Orlando, the Holy Land Experience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you know
Maybe
about that.
Maybe she's from there. That would be cool.
just a big old living play. Yeah. In Missouri, we had Shepherd of the Hills, the same thing. All right, so she's from the Holy Land. She says, I love your show. Two things to know about me. One, I recently found your show. Two, I am 9 months pregnant.
Ooh.
And I think she's trying to link those two. And we have lawyers in place that prove emphatically that this show does not cause number one. Or, I'm sorry, number two.
We did have a NL Cast baby, didn't
we? Oh, my gosh!
So,
well, this one's not ours. We're going to go white trash on this one. That ain't my baby. All right. So anyway, she says two things come together. I went to the archives and I downloaded past podcasts at random, and I selected Cappuccino. Do you remember that one?
Cappuccino.
Something about a dog. Somebody's dog. I think it was... Oh, I even went back and listened. I can't remember who told. I think it was a guy. I think it was a human being of sorts.
Wasn't Ethan's, was it?
No, it was not. Okay. But I think he was there. This was a bad choice, she said. When you are emotionally off balance and you have to pee all the time and you're in constant fear of going into labor, laughing that hard, driving down the freeway is equal parts best day ever. And oh, sweet Lord, I'm going to either die, pee, deliver, or all three and crash. That would be amazing.
That would be scary.
All whilst tears are streaming down my face and I can't breathe. Just then, I get my composure. Just when I get my composure, the show comes to a close and the line, say goodbye, Cappuccino, comes on and I lose it again. So, thanks. It was a great episode, and maybe... don't listen to this while driving. Advisory sticker is in order. Well, yeah, we used to do a little thing like that. A big warning, you know, And but we got tired of you know, the lawyers told us not to do it. So babies keep getting born. And
I have a response to that.
Okay.
One, congratulations, because probably by now she has delivered said child.
Yes.
So hopefully. And I just remembered who Cappuccino was from. That was Michael Prince's
dog.
That's
right.
Wasn't it?
That's right. And it died or something.
Something.
And then,
sorry.
And the little quote at the end was like, say goodbye, Cappuccino. Because we were all saying goodbye to each other. Bye, Ethan. Bye. Bye, John. Say goodbye, Cappuccino. And somebody went,
that's the dog they left in the parking lot.
Oh,
gosh. Is that right?
I think so. I'm not sure. Anyway, go back in the archives, thatstoryshow.com. And then go down and either click on podcasts or just search for Cappuccino. I couldn't spell it either. It's C-A-P-P.
Unless you're pregnant and driving, don't do that.
U-C-C-I-N-O. Yeah. So it's time for what we do next, and that is a little bit of backstory. And that's where we share a story from the past 7 days or so. So I want to share mine first because last week you weren't here, and I shared a tiny little story about something that happened in church the other day, and so I have to tell you, because I'm going to tell part two today.
Okay.
The big mystery was this. I was shaking hands with this lady, this old lady, and she leans in close and said, I like that chicken.
What?
And I didn't know what she was saying. I didn't know if she was trying to pass some pre-Civil War information to me. If she was hitting on me, you know, if that was some sort of thing that if I was dancing the Charleston, that I would be like, I like that chicken. And I'd be like, yay. I don't know. I didn't know what it was. So I
like that chicken.
I did what you do at church. I just smiled and said, well, that's good. That's so great. Oh, yeah. And then I hated myself for the rest of the day because I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be that guy that just smiles and nods at church, you know? So anyway, that now you're up to date. Well, now I get to tell you the I like that chicken part too, because I'm going to tell you what, during the part of the service where our church does this thing where they play a song and they say, hey, go around and greet everybody. Just shake everybody's hand. And there's only five people in this church. We all said hey to each other. We all shook each other's hands, but we do it again. I don't ever move. I just don't. I'm like, I don't care. I think this is dumb. I ain't doing it. But I will shake people's hands when they do it. Well, another old lady, a second one, one that sits really close to the first one, that comes in importance in a little bit. But she leaned in to me as she shook my hand and she said, did your wife tell you? I said, what? She goes, I like that chicken. I'm like, oh my God, my brain's exploding. And I'm like, what in the world? Is everybody playing a joke on me? Because it would not be like my wife to do this. But if she did, I would like bow down and worship her. If she got these two old ladies in on the same joke.
I like that chicken.
But then I finally put it all together. It's the dumbest answer in the world. But it's better than any alternatives I came up with. You know, one being that she was trying to feed me secrets from the Confederate Army, or two, that she was hitting on me and wanted me to do the Charleston with her. But if you go and listen to GOK, it's the Gospel of Kinnison. It's a little audio journal I do. I talked about, I think it was episode 43. I talked about this sermon I was going to preach, this first sermon I was going to preach since my depression took me out of the game. And I talked an hour about a sermon that was an hour long. And in that, I talked about how afterwards me and the wife were sitting there and we were talking at this restaurant, and wouldn't you know it, there ain't but five people in this church, and two of them come walking up. We ain't seen nobody we know ever in the whole history of the time we've been here. And after I preached, these two ladies come up. It's those two ladies. And I had told them, because this is the first time they'd been here, we heard about this place, we just thought we'd come, and you just did such a great job. I'm like, well, try the honey chicken. That's what you want to try. And they're like, oh, really? What is, where? And I pointed to it and showed it the whole thing. And apparently they really enjoyed it, and I am completely senile. One thing I did say last week, and the listeners will hold me to it, that I did say I was pretty sure she knew what she was talking about, and I was going to assume that I was the idiot. Well, I never can go wrong assuming I'm the idiot, because I definitely was.
I like that chicken.
I like that chicken. Now it's, I know. Good. I don't know why it seemed so surly before, but it sure did. Seemed downright spooky. Two old ladies lean in close. And I like that chicken.
They don't want the world to know. It's like the honey chicken is the best kept secret in town, and you have shared it with them, and now
looking both
they want
ways
to approve.
I like the chicken. Okay, and then they slide me something in a case, you know, and a handcuff something to my wrist.
Oh, jeez. I got to tell you, my backstory is not as awesome as that. I'm almost tempted to make one up.
How could it be? How could it be? Mine involves old ladies, and then after she shook my hand, she turned into a ghost and flew away.
Oh, sweet. Snap. You've just upped the ante.
There you go.
I'm going to have to tell this story in the best Morgan Freeman. I can't laugh. But so, first of all, I have to ask, because I actually tuned in last week for a brief moment of time. Was that Chris Cowan on last week?
That was.
Man.
Yeah, he's such a sweetheart.
How come you get all the good guys whenever I'm gone?
Well, because there's such a hole left of a good guy hole. Sounds really
good
bad.
Guy hole. Is that where they throw all the good
where
guys?
I dig a big hole, throw all of you in, you're dead. All right, so what's your backstory today?
Well, okay, so beyond the getting ready for the unnamed holiday that's unnamed. It's not Reformation Day, by the way.
No.
And beyond the family coming in and all that, I, in the midst of all this, I had to take care of my children, my boys, because my wife went out of town for a few days.
Ah.
And so one of those days happened to be a school day. And I had Johnny, of course, is homeschooled, and James is not.
Oh.
He goes to school. He does. He's in preschool.
Oh.
He's a pretty smart kid, too. I think he's teaching them some things. I don't know. But I had him at home, and I had my day off, and so he was not at school. And somebody dropped by the house and noticed that James was there, because her son is in there in his class. And mm-hmm. she said, "Oh, hey, James, are you here playing hooky?" And, of course, he has no idea what that means. And he's in the middle playing a video game. He looks at her like she's crazy and says, "No, I'm playing Minecraft." So, I'll have to teach him about the hooky thing.
Without context, that word is really weird sounding. You know how sometimes hooky. You have to say words like water, 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 and then they don't make water. Sense? Hooky doesn't make sense the first time you say it.
It doesn't make sense to me right now. And I used to, you know, play hooky all the time. I don't even know where it comes from. I might have to Google that and find out.
I'm afraid to. Just don't do a Google image search. I'm afraid. The only time I've ever heard that word said in a cool way was by Rufio when he said, "Looky, looky, there goes hooky." And yeah. That's the only good usage of the word. Playing hooky. I'm sure there's a word. You go out the schoolhouse and you picked off your coat off the hook, and the teacher used to go back and she would count the coats on the hooks. And the one kid without the coat, you knew he was playing hooky.
And he's the guy that wound up in all the urban legend stories with the hook for a hand,
the
right?
The candy man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of such wonderful things, the show is brought to you in part by Bluehost Hosting. It's the one. If you go to any of the podcast websites, including NLcast.com, and if it comes up quick and fast and in a hurry, that's because of Bluehost Hosting. It's what we use. And you can use it, too. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, you want a website, $4.95 a month is the best you can get. It gets you unlimited space, unlimited domains, unlimited bandwidth. Try to find that deal anywhere else. You'll end up at Bluehost. Visit thatstoryshow.com/Bluehost to sign up today. Right now, we're going to do our featured stories. And that's the featured story sound, in case you didn't know.
I like that.
It is. It's got a little bit of a stereo effect on it. It kind of messes with your ears. Sorry.
I thought
that
I was losing my mind.
I thought my head turned around.
I thought you were playing
all
hooky.
The way. Well, you feel free to Google that while I read this story. This is called A Grave Goodbye. It's from Josh Nolan from Indian Trail, North Carolina. He says, "I hope this gives you a laugh as this is what I thought of when I heard the I like your chicken story that I told last week. He says, this happened to me just the other day while I was at a friend's house. My best friend Ben has three younger brothers who all idolized me and my awesomeness. Yeah. And your humility. One day, however, I learned that I might not be on their good side as much as I thought I was. It was time to go, so I got in the driver's seat and I said goodbye to the family, and the youngest child, John, climbed up into my lap, gave me a hug, and whispered in my ear, "See you in the grave."
What?
Inspired by his words, the other two young boys called out after me as I drove away, "Bye, Josh. See you in your grave." Ooh. See, and this is why this is the real reason, in my opinion, why homeschoolers don't celebrate Halloween, because they go Frank Peretti on you. They go crazy. So, get a little spooky.
Oh my gosh.
See you in your grave.
See you in the grave.
I'm not in my grave. I'm playing Minecraft. It's a mine.
Yeah, fool. See? Scott, I can dig these holes out if I want, and then I'm back on land.
I've been playing a little bit of Minecraft here lately. It's been interesting. It was a brief phase. I built an entire underground world, including a giant house and a place to grow trees, and then I suddenly hated it again. It's the way I spent too much time doing this.
Were you on creative or were you on survival?
Dude, I'm survival all the way. I earn everything I get. I got 5 diamonds, you know, but I got all this other stuff, you know. I even got myself some rabbits to come down underground, and that's hard to do because they jump.
Rabbits?
And
when
there's rabbits in the game, and I had these steps, and if they jump, if they go down steps, they hurt themselves and they die after 3 jumps. So it was quite a hairy deal to get those guys down there. But anyway,
good grief.
Back to what we're doing, because this is a podcast about Minecraft.
See you in the grave.
Death Angel. That's what this one's called. It's from Daniel.
Oh, man. We've gone from the grave to the Death Angel.
It's the next one. It's the one that you have to avoid. Daniel Lewis writes in from Twitty, Texas. And that's a real place, but he doesn't live there. I have a story I've been holding on to for a while because I wanted to wait until it was closer to Halloween. Was this close enough for you?
Just barely.
Just made it. I wanted to preface this story by saying that my wife is a hospice nurse. So, for those of you who do not know what hospice nurses do, they take care of people in their final days and help them be as comfortable as they can while they prepare to pass on. Pass on what?
Pass on
gravy? I don't get...
To die, James.
To die.
They are preparing to see you with the grave.
I had a friend who was a hospice person. Anyway, many husbands say that wives are angels sent to us from heaven, and my wife is no exception. So, with that being said, on with the story. You mean we're not in the story yet? One Halloween, I was out with my wife and my stepson, Gabe, and we had been to quite a few houses in the neighborhood already, and the candy bucket was getting full. So we stopped.
That was just his bucket.
Yeah. And he stopped at his house, and an elderly lady answered the door. "Trick or treat," Gabe explained. And the elderly woman leaned in and said, "I like your chicken." He said the elderly woman seemed confused. Gabe held up his bucket, expected to receive a Tootsie Roll or some Smarties or her dentures or something. Instead, the elderly lady took Gabe's bucket away from him and said, "What do we have here?" My wife and I looked at each other, wondering what in the heck was going on here. The old lady then offered Gabe a piece of candy from his own bucket. It was pretty clear that this old lady's mind wasn't all there. In the words of Mark Lowry, she was about 3 fries short of a happy meal. After a few awkward moments, she finally handed the candy bucket back to Gabe, and we said goodbye to this old lady. As we were walking away from the house, my wife looked at me and said, "I'll be seeing her soon." See you in your grave.
It's awesome.
So, like I said before, many husbands say their wives are angels, and my wife is no exception, except for the fact that on Halloween night, I realized that I had married the angel of death. Oh, no.
I'll be seeing you soon, too, Daniel. I love you. Sleep good.
I hurt my voice.
Let's see. Hope you guys enjoyed the story. Hope it wasn't too dark for anybody. But when you're married to a hospice nurse, death is dinner conversation. Mm. See you guys later. And hope you never meet my wife.
People are dying to meet her. Oh, man. Oh. I wonder what all the – because, you know, every job has jokes that go along with it.
Yeah.
You know, like preachers, they talk too long or they can't, you know, have a family conversation without taking up an offering or whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to hear the jokes that come along with being a hospice nurse.
Yeah. Because everybody, you know, you do a good job and they're dead.
Oh, jeez.
You know.
Like, I'm uncomfortable talking about this.
What other job, you know, the better you do, the more dying goes on. I don't know. Sad thing. Hospice is amazing, though. I do want to say that before we get a lot of hate mail. I have a friend who's a hospice person for a long time. It was really hard on her, but she did a great job.
Yeah. And my hat's off to them
completely. If anybody's ever had a loved one who's been released to hospice, they probably died. But no, what I meant to say was you probably have really good reports of their death. All right. This is a voicemail from that guy we talked about from last week. His name's Chris Cowan. And, enjoy it.
Does he have
it.
A dog named Cappuccino, too?
No, not this time. It's called Me as a Girl.
This is Chris Cowan from Pop Mockers and Success Face Comedy Podcasts. And I'm going to tell you about the time my mom thought that I was gay. So as a kid, I used to write a whole lot of stories. I wouldn't finish most of them, but I would start them. And one day I told my mom about the latest story I was writing. And I said, Mom, I'm writing this story, and it's about me, but as a girl. Now, what I meant by that was it's a story from the first-person perspective of a girl, but I didn't know how to say first-person versus third-person, etc. So I just said, Mom, it's a story about me as a girl. And she paused, and she gave me a weird look, and she said, do you sometimes feel like a girl? And I had no idea what she meant by that, but I was like, no. And then I walked away very... very weirdly.
I straightened my dress and I turned on my heel.
That's the story of one of the times my mom suspected I was gay, at least. Oh. So there you go.
There's more than one.
All right. Parents, will give you a moment to explain what he was talking about to your children. Then we'll move on to our next story.
La 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 la.
I do happen to know that Chris Cowan does have a beard, and he is very manly, and he does all of those things to offset the fact that he does wear women's clothing. So
he does?
Not by choice. It's what his wife makes him do.
Oh.
So this was...
And then
what?
He turned into a ghost and transpired through the wall.
He did.
That's how you had to make that a Halloween story.
First person story. Let's see. This was caught on a stick. And in this story brings us to a whole new thing. For years, you know, we've done middle school drama.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we get a middle school drama, we say it in a certain voice. Well, I have now decided, because we're getting more and more of these as it goes along, thanks to people like Homeschool Jewel and other people that tune in, because it's clean and funny and it's about the only thing they're allowed to listen to. I have started a new segment called the Homeschool Report. All right.
That's awesome.
So if
did you pay
ever
somebody on Fiverr to do that?
No. I stole it right off YouTube.
It's great.
So whenever you hear, you know, that sound,
a homeschool family,
You're going to know, you're going to hear something from the world of homeschool. And if you are a homeschooler and you're listening to this and you send a story, let us know. We'll throw you in here. Okay. This is called The Unenhanced Story. Okay. It's by J.B. Christensen from Sand Draw, Wyoming. However it may seem, this story is real and not enhanced, quote unquote, in any way. I want to say that the spelling on this is impeccable. However it may seem, when I was around 14, I had this hobby of shadow boxing. Okay. It was a hobby.
It's a hobby, shadow boxer.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a Van Damme movie, you know.
He's waiting to go pro, but he's waiting for a sponsor, right?
Gotta get he's got to know someone outside his own family first. Yeah. But one day when I was bored, I decided to give it a go on my favorite wall. These things were going great until my shadow threw a gut punch at me.
What?
Yeah. I'm just going to read it as it said. That's why I created this segment.
The story is not enhanced.
No, not a bit. It was not hard to roll out of the way. The problem came when I power kicked him in the head. My foot crashed right through the wall and became hopelessly stuck. After about half an hour of trying to get loose, half an hour, I gave up all form of stealth and finally got my foot out. Because stealth was the problem, apparently.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. You know,
you don't want to be sneaky when you're trying to remove your foot from a wall.
Well, my kids have the same problem, like when a jar is stuck. I'm like, stop trying to be stealthy and just open it. Makes me mad. Along with half the wall, by the way. He said he got his foot out along with half the wall. Not exaggerated at all here.
It's unenhanced.
Not enhanced. This is where it gets interesting, for I had to find some way of repairing the wall before my parents got home. I started by grabbing two sheets of 2.5x4 foot paper, and he probably measured it right before he wrote it, and a hammer. Mm. I got a hammer, too, to cover it up, because that was going to help. While I was able to cover the hole, the paper's color did not match the wall, so I went off to find some paint. After a few minutes, I was able to find the right color, but unable to find a brush. So I grabbed a towel. A little sponge painting, you know, it's good for you. After some time of trying to paint the wall patch with a towel and eventually my hand, I gave up all hope of physically hiding the disaster and turned to my metaphysical options. Throwing the towel in the wash and dimming the lights, I used my teenage genius and a Frank Peretti subplot to not just repair but revert the wall's damage. I placed my hand on our cuckoo clock and began a chant that was no doubt some sort of Wicca. In the book, this was supposed to undo all events that had been done that day, but it did not work. See, homeschool parents, you can't protect your kids. From this
and that
kind
was a
of
Frank
stuff.
Peretti book, a well-known Christian author in the 80s.
My last hope was to put up a sheet over it and say that I was doing some green screen photos. Did I really think that would work? Well, after the other solutions, yeah, that was the best one I've heard so far. The good news is a scapegoat was provided. Dun, dun, dun. My mother's phone exploded, literally. As she was driving home. So she had to go to Walmart and buy one of those $99 phones. Because those won't blow up.
No.
No.
At all.
No. In the space. And I, you know, phones are constantly exploding. It is a problem. I'm a part of a Facebook group online that is about that very thing. And
exploding
it's
phones?
People with one ear and a hole where their ear used to be. And yeah, it's insane. But anyway, it's all tracing back to trying Wicca for the first time.
That's what happened. He probably put his hand on that clock and said the chant, and it blew up her phone.
She pulled out her phone to check the time, and then that connection was made, and boom, explosives.
See what you did, JB? It's all your fault. Blew up your mom's phone.
Good going, homeschool. In the space of time it took her to replace it, she missed an important phone call. This caused a chain of events that in the end sent her to Kentucky for a week. like the TARDIS. It just sent her the phone. Sent her. Oh no! I'm calling you from Kentucky. I better not be any holes in the wall. While she was gone, I used an IOU my father had with me to get him to fix the wall and not tell.
Oh, wow.
I love that. Thank Howard that her phone exploded. Nobody's thanked Howard for quite a while.
It's been a long time.
For without all of that to distract my mother from the green screen, I do not think that it would have happened. This really happened, just as I told it. Thanks for reading, JB, a.k.a. Rambling Dude. So this, I just want to make it clear, this story is not enhanced in any way, especially the parts about the shadow gut punching, spending half an hour trying to remove a foot from a wall, finding paint that was the exact same color as that in your room, the fact that two pieces of paper could support having paint put on them with a towel, the use of witchcraft to try to roll back time like Superman, and an exploding phone, and a dad that was less upset about the hole in the wall than his mother, than the mother would be. That's insane. Usually it's the dads that will kill you over things like that, you know?
Yeah.
What I know. Anyway, so that was our first homeschool report. A homeschool family. There you go. I used to be homeschooled. It's a wonderful thing. John was close to homeschooled.
I was homeschooled for a very short while.
I think your school was small enough, though, to count.
And, yeah.
You know, the only difference was you had people that weren't related to you that you did school with. You know.
But we were so close, it was like we were related. I mean, when you have three people in the senior class.
It must have been weird when you were kissing them and stuff. Because there are stories on tap that we have. Speaking of middle school drama. This is called On a Stick. It's Steve from Alabama. When I was 14 years old, my older brother, the one from the pants story last week. John doesn't know anything about that.
I might have to listen to that show.
He says, we were invited to a costume party at a bowling alley. My brother, being the video game geek that he is, decided to go as the angry video game nerd.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, I think it's a YouTube thing.
Is it that guy that plays old video games and gets really angry at playing them?
And I looked him up just now on Google Images. He just looks like a nerd guy. He's got sideburns still.
He's not really angry though. He's just
he probably upset. Just screws up at video games quite a bit. I don't know.
Greatest freak out ever.
He says, however, I dressed up as Señor Jose Jalapeno
Honestique from
Jeff Dunham.
Yes.
He said, awesome. I did this by painting my face green, using my mom's mascara to make thick eyebrows and a mustache, and wearing a sombrero. And I held a wooden dowel, beneath his chin. I was really sweating that costume right there.
I'm on a stick.
While we were driving to the bowling alley, my dad accidentally ran into a red light. Oh, this is middle school drama. I'm supposed to be reading this differently.
Oh.
While we were driving on the bowling alley, my dad accidentally ran into a red light. Or ran a red light. I mean, he didn't like run into it because they're so high up and stuff. But he was pulled over by a police officer. And I mean like with his sirens and his lights, not like with a rope or anything. So as the police officer looks in the car, he notices me in the passenger seat and he had a perplexed look on his face. It was like his pecs and his nose were mixed up together. And with a straight face, I looked at him and I said in my best Spanish accent, do you need to use my green card? And or do you need to see it? So after explaining that we were on our way to a party, the officer let us go. So after we got to the bowling alley, there was a contest for the best costume, and I won the guy's division and got $10.
Sweet.
And then I turned into a bat and flew away.
Yes. Seriously? That was good.
Moral of the story is Mexican stereotypes only get you out of tickets if you're white.
Oh. You see my green card?
Oh, a little slam there. Little strong white guilt for the children. So this one's called fly larvae. Larvae. I always hate that word because it looks like it's spelled larvae.
It's a gross word too.
It is. Fly larvae.
Like milk.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like the word milk.
I like the word milk as in drinking milk. I don't like the word milk as in milking something. Like
I don't like
I had to milk that. That's where you want to throw up. So Sylvia Dean from Pinch, West Virginia. Can you imagine? She says, Pinch. Hey guys. Yeah. I'm currently spending the weekend at home from school to watch our five dogs.
What?
While my parents and brother are out of the state. Normally, this is no big deal. Really? But our most recent adoption was an Italian greyhound named Harvey. I know about those.
Italian greyhounds?
Yeah. I don't know about Italian ones, but I know about the running ones.
I just
ones.
Pictured a greyhound with a little thin mustache and a little chef hat.
Hey, let me run a race for you, huh? I'm a Luigi. And my name is Harvey. I am offending
a name.
I'm offending an entire culture.
Sorry.
Anyway. Every now and then when the dog runs into something, a coin pops out, I guess. Oh man. Yeah, they had to get him off the track because he wouldn't chase a rabbit. He kept jumping on turtles and killing all the other dogs.
Get the green mushroom though. He was really fast.
He'd get the little star and be like dun 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 dun, dun bloop bloop bloop. Harvey wins. Anyway.
Hey.
Oh, jeez. So Harvey retired from his Mario Kingdom stint. And he has a talent, by the way, of sticking his nose wherever he can. He goes through the trash. He's looking for Peach. That's why he rips apart rolls of toilet paper.
Toad pops out. Sorry, your princess is in another garbage can.
I'm sorry. Okay, he flings himself at other dogs, bikes, cars, you name it. Well, that's what Mario does. Harvey, the Italian dog.
Italian greyhound.
We gave him one big meal a day, and there's a whole bunch of small details to keep track of for all these dogs. Which dog gets flax in his food, which gets a pill, and which gets a mushroom. And so
I wonder if Sylvia is actually a hospice dog keeper.
It's like, I don't know. He's hit his head on everything. It is so easy to get sidetracked in the process, is what she's saying. So the story begins in my biology lab next week, where we have bottled fly larvae to observe. We're required to write daily journals over the development. Oh, that must be fun. It's rolling around and squirming in the jar.
I'm not sure that my larva understands me.
I'm trying to teach it sign language so it may communicate.
Wiggle, wiggle.
It seems to be saying... it seems to be saying, I cannot wait to land on your poop. But I can't be sure. We'll try to again tomorrow. That's what they're saying.
Harvey.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, I'm going to pass out. Oh, God. I'm seeing white. Okay. So, game over.
Okay.
So,
did you just say Game of Thrones?
No, I said game over.
So what does it have to do with this story?
So anyway, she says, we're required to write daily journals. So I brought the vial with the fly larva back home with me. After I prepared and served the dog lunches, I sat down at the piano to practice a song. Upon hearing a strange noise in the background, about 5 minutes later, I got up to see what had happened, and Harvey was standing triumphantly next to what he thought was a dog toy, but with closer inspection, I realized it was a sponge. To be specific, it was the sponge that was keeping the fly larvae in a vial.
Oh.
I automatically panicked and went searching for the uncovered vial and any rogue larva. I found it and resealed it with what was left of the sponge. After that, I grabbed a flashlight to see if I could spot any runaway larvae, because you know how fast those guys are.
Yeah, he's looking for the poo.
But I didn't find any. I'm not sure how many Harvey ate or how many escaped and may still be roaming around my hallway. I love the show so much, and this is just the thing I need to get my mind off school for a weekend. Thanks. So here I got through that whole thing, and I said fly larvae like 700 times. Aren't fly larvae just maggots? Are we that fancy around here? We can't just call them maggots.
Yeah, I like larvae better. Maggots is grosser than larvae.
So I guess I guess it's safe to say she got an F on her maggot lab. That doesn't have the same on her fly larvae lab.
Fly larva lab.
I want to know
Harvey
more.
Harvey got a good job out of it.
Yeah, I want to know more about Harvey. Harvey the Italian Greyhound.
He must have thought it was pasta because he's Italian, right? Yeah, I thought it was a noodle.
Well, you know, in Mario 2, Mario Brothers 2, the one that was so drastically different than everybody else, you'd pull out these little white turnips, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd throw them. No, that was two.
Was it two?
Yeah. And I think you thought it was those. Like, I'm used to these. So
one of these is going to be a potion. It's going to make me big.
All right, we got another.
That's one that makes a door. Never mind.
We got another middle school drama. We're swimming in it today. This one's called Fruit Salad. It's from Steve from Tight Squeeze, Virginia. Real place. One day when I was 12, my friend Arnold and I went down to the creek. The night before, it had been a torrential downpour, so the creek was flowing fairly quick. Despite the raging waters, we continued our quest for adventure. Shing! Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Adventure time. As we were hiking along the water's edge, right on the edge, but mind you, we were approaching an area that we couldn't navigate through because we were navigating.
They're in a boat?
I guess they're circumferencing. We decided that now would be a good time to cross. However, this was also the widest part of the creek. Lulz, our genius, aka preteen idiot minds, had the great idea to throw a rope we randomly had. Don't ask where it came from, because it's a secret. We threw it into a branch halfway across, and then we would swing across. I went first and made it across with nary a trouble. Whoa. Nary a trouble, I tell you. Then it was Arnold's turn. Now, Arnold is a little fluffier than me, and by fluffier, I mean sagging with fat. When he attempted to swing across, the branch started bending toward the water because of his girth. Harold hit the water and landed on about a foot of mud. Now might be a good time to tell you a little about Arnold's family. Yeah, let's take a little break and learn Arnold's freaking family history in the middle of the story.
Yes, tell us about it.
Arnold has a little brother named Bob. Bob loves the old Wiggles show. Is it old? Is it old, John? Have they quit making it?
Kind of. I don't think they've quit.
Have the people died? Are they old? Do they look like the guys from Twisted Sister? Or are they just walking around with cigarettes hanging out of their lips? Like, yeah, it used to be something. I don't think they're that old.
I think their shirts have faded a little bit, but they are still wearing primary colors.
And if they wear a hat,
Chief, come on over here and see if you can dance a little bit, mate.
I love dancing. I will dance a little bit right now. Can you repeat what you just said?
Get Captain Feathersword out here.
Oh, gosh. You know the show.
It's my favorite thing to do, fellas.
Sorry.
As Arnold was standing in the muck, I was trying to get some vines to pull him out because we already had used the random rope. I threw him a vine and began to pull with all the might my scrawny little body could muster. When out of the blue, Arnold starts to sing a little song that goes like this. fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Yeah, that's exactly what I did too. So I went, I went and did a little yummy, research. Yummy.
Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad.
Why would he sing that?
Because he's fat.
Fruit salad.
But he's yummy, in the mic.
That's what we do, man.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad. Fruit salad.
When we are, when yummy, fat, yummy. Fat kids are stuck in a fat place that their fat got them into, we have to sing something silly. And fruit salad, yummy, yummy, is exactly the kind of thing that gets you through. And I want to say, if you go online and you watch that song, they talk about the first verse is about the order in which you cut and place fruit salad and mush it all together. And then the second verse is all about eating the fruit salad in the exact same order. And it leaves you wondering, first of all, why so many rules about fruit salad? And secondly, why did we mix it all together in the first place if we've got to eat it? Grapes, melons, apples, and that's, you know, in that order. But anyway.
I just put it in the juicer and it's delicious.
Yeah, that's what you do. You buy a single use thing. Those are great. Anyway, so he says, I'm pulling and the guy is singing and he's bobbing in the mud. Apparently this is a song from the Wiggles show. After he got free, we went home. So if you find this funny, then please read it on the show. P.S. Then a dragon came.
No way.
Wow. So middle school drama.
Was that enhanced? Or did we actually get two old school memes thrown into our show today?
No, those are actual. I deleted them and then undeleted them.
It's
insane. Great. The Haunted Bathroom from Fred from Fingerville, South Carolina.
The Haunted Bathroom.
A whole town named Fingerville? After a finger. First off, thanks for the show. It has been a light in my life during a dark time. Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
I was saying thank you because I know it's my part of the show that was probably he was talking about.
And I just do the fart jokes.
Your part, you know. First off, thanks for the show. I'm a professional driver, and I get tired of listening to music during the long hours. Well, here's some.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
Fruit salad.
Sing it with me, John, yummy, yummy. With that delay.
Fruit salad.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. All right, anyway.
I hope I was on
track. You did really good. You did good. So I listened to your show, and it always makes me laugh. I have a story to share with you. I used to work night shift at a small office building. The offices in the middle of the building have windows. To look
in the
out.
Middle of the building?
I know. It's so crazy. It's like that one movie. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Grand Theft Auto.
No, it's the Super Mario Stephen Brothers. King one that they're stuck in a hotel and The Shining. And they got windows where there's not supposed to be windows.
Gotcha.
I have windows that look out into the back office. And so there's also a small bathroom. One night, my coworker, David, was doing work in the middle offices and he yelled for me to come back here. And I entered the office and he said, hey, man, that bathroom door just opened by itself. Well, I was already familiar with the fact that when the AC would kick on, that and if the door wasn't shut all the way, it would slowly open. So I went back to my desk in the front office. Then an evil thought crossed my head. I bypassed the middle offices and went straight to the back office. I got down on my hands and knees and crawled between the desks so as not to be seen by David. And I grabbed a hold of that bathroom door and slammed it shut as hard as I possibly could. And it had the exact effect I hoped that it would. David screamed like a girl, jumped up, and was running out of the door, out of the office building, before he realized that he had not passed me on the way out. And then he stopped. I was rolling on the floor laughing. R-O-F-L, you know, that thing.
R-O-T-F-L?
Yeah. I hope you enjoy this story. Thanks for all the laughs. So it was called The Haunted Bathroom, but I noticed one thing I'd like to add is that the area between David's office and the exit is also now haunted with the smell of his pee.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah, well, it was.
It was. You don't know, kid.
I don't know nothing. All right, one more. This is called Halloween Spelling Dog. It's by Halloween our friend Keith Helsley from Almont, Illinois. He says, my second oldest son had just started kindergarten, and it was time to get ready for Halloween. He had a brown-colored cloth costume with a hood and floppy ears, and since the face was open, was he like a sandworm? His face was open. It was like a predator mouth. Anyway, face was open. I know he means costume. My wife put on just a hint of face paint to let people figure out that he was a dog. So
right on.
I knew he was, but being a typical dad, I had to tease him just a little bit. What are you supposed to be dressed up as? I asked him. A bear? It was a close guess. Brown suit. Bears have brown fur. I was prepared to keep on guessing other animals, horses, frogs, zebras, penguins, giraffes. The more far-fetched, the better, of course. My son wasn't having any of this, though, and he shut me down right after that first guess. I am not a bear, he said. Then he tried to show off his newfound kindergarten knowledge. He didn't know how to read or write yet, but he was going to give it a try. I am a dog. B-U-N dog. He got me on that one, and after that I stopped laughing and tried to explain that he didn't quite spell it right, but he certainly was a hot dog, especially with that bun action going on. After all these
maybe he was an Italian dog.
Hey.
I don't know,
after all
he's a garlic bun.
After all these years, he still hears about being a BUN dog. That's like kind of stuff you can't live down. But that should have been an omen for me. That kid never did learn how to spell very good or very well.
Oh, man.
Oh, folks, that's our stories for today. But you can send your funny true life stories, audio or text, to thatstoryshow@gmail.com or call us 2095NLCast. And visit the contact page on thatstoryshow.com for any, we have tips basically on ways to ensure that your stuff's going to make it on the show. Just some basic
guidelines. What other show does that?
Yeah. Yeah. It helps you
out. It's a little public service from those guys at That Story Show.
And FYB, we do typically send you an email to let you know when your stuff's going to be on the program. The only time we don't is if you use the, what's it called? SpeakPipe that's on the main webpage. Yeah. We don't get your email that way. We get your phone number, and I'm not calling you because that'd be creepy.
I'll call him if you want me to.
John would do it.
Hey, we're going to use your show song. Never mind.
And you'd know it was him because he would always answer the phone with this different accent, you know, that he does.
I'm confused.
I don't know what that is. Anyway, did you enjoy the show? If you did, consider becoming a backer for just 25 cents a show. That's a dollar a month. You'll be a quarterbacker, see? Or heck, why not $5 a month? Then you could be a fiver butt.
Fiver bucker backer.
Fiver back. I was trying to go lower because we were digging in deep, but it didn't work out. You'll not only be supporting your favorite funny story podcast, you'll get access to backer-only content, extra audio, and offers, things that I get that I pass on to you. Visit thatstoryshow.com/backer and support us through Patreon. That'd be awesome. All right, let's do it. Let's close out the show, man. It's time.
You don't have to. It's not time yet. Does it have to be?
It does, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. Visit our website, thatstoryshow.com. Join the NLCast Network Community Facebook group at nlcast.com/group. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/thatstoryshow and review the show in iTunes or wherever you found us. You want a shortcut there? thatstoryshow.com/iTunes will get you right where you need to go. Thanks to our backers. Thanks to Rob Gobers for our theme music, our spouses for letting us record, our story contributors, and everyone who listens. And remember, if you come across something crazy, embarrassing, or annoying, whatever is gross, whatever is weird, whatever is just not normal, if it be funny, or in any way show worthy, just think, I'm going to call that story show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, John.
Bye, James.
Thanks, dude, for coming on.
Thank you for letting me.
Visit NLCast.com for other great NLCast network shows.